1884, tried to come back in 1885 and failed, and his baseball career was over at the age of 28. So he moved back to Michigan, where his wife was from. His wife was from Ontario, but Fred settled in suburban Detroit, Michigan. He was the postmaster in the town of Clawson for a while. He worked at different various jobs and all. And that's when the second part of Fred Goldsmith's life started. Fred Goldsmith decided that he wanted to convince people that he not only threw one of the first curves, but he had actually invented the curveball. And starting in about 1898, Fred started writing articles, letters to the editor, etc., because the question had become, who invented the curve? Well, most people gave that credit to a pitcher named Candy Cummings, Arthur Candy Cummings, who pitched for the Brooklyn Stars and other amateur teams of the late 1860s, and then for the National Association in the early 1870s. Candy Cummings claimed that he had thrown the first curveball. He said that in 1867, that he had defeated Harvard by throwing a curve. Now, if you know the rules of baseball before 1872, the pitcher had to throw directly underhand and was not allowed to snap his wrist. I don't know how you throw a curveball without snapping your wrist. Now, I played vintage baseball. I pitched, mostly because I couldn't field any other position very well. And I can throw knucklers. I can't throw a curve. But anyway, I made a reverse timeline. And if you have the handout, you'll see what the reverse timeline is. 1872, pitchers are allowed to snap their wrist for the first time. In 1870 and 71, Cummings is throwing a curve, or is at least trying to, because many of his games erupt in a controversy over whether his delivery is legal or not. In 1870, Fred Goldsmith, and we will get to this, claimed that he made a public demonstration of the curveball. 1870, Al Spalding claimed that he saw Cummings throw it that year, and in 1867, Cummings said he threw it against Harvard. But in 1866, Goldsmith said that he invented the curve and taught it to the Yale pitchers in that year. Well, why did I say that year of birth was very important? Because Fred Goldsmith always said that he was born in 1852. But his birth certificate and census records say he was born in 1856. In 1866, when Fred claimed that he invented the curveball and taught it to the Yale pitchers, he was 10 years old. So that's something of a reverse timeline there. But this is Fred as an older man. Now, he lived to be 82, and he carried on this campaign for the last 40 years of his life. And if you ask Fred for an autograph, you might get something that looks like this. Most players just sign their names. Fred says, Chicago White Sox, winner of six World Championships, yada yada, made a public demonstration on the Capitoline grounds in August of 1870. Oh, here he says his date of birth is 1854. He's moving it up a little. But Cummings and Goldsmith argued through the prints for years, for decades, over who invented the curveball. In 1898, Fred wrote an article, or was quoted in Sporting Life, as saying that he taught Hamilton Avery the curve. Cummings wrote a rebuttal that claimed that he taught Ham Avery the curveball. So, well, Cummings died in 1924. After 1924, Fred picked up his campaign, because then, later in that same year, Fred told the Chicago Tribune that he had made a public demonstration of the curveball. I don't think he'd ever said that before, but after Cummings passed away, he said that. In 1927, he told the London Advertiser that he had done so in 1872. But in 1932, Fred wrote an article for the Sporting News that said that he had given a public demonstration of the curveball in August of 1870 in Brooklyn. And as his proof, he showed a yellow newspaper clipping that he said, which is reproduced on the handout there, that he said proved it. The newspaper clipping said, the Brooklyn Eagle at August 17, 1870, and it describes how they pounded three stakes, and three 8-foot-high stakes into the ground, and Fred took the took the mound and made the ball go around one stake and around the other. The first public demonstration of the curve ball, and this is supposed to be written by Henry Chadwick Abbott. So this yellow piece of newspaper clipping is Fred's only piece of evidence, and he showed it to reporters and interviewers and anybody who would listen. He would go to old-timers games and banquets, and he would show his newspaper clipping to everybody. Well, there's one problem with the newspaper clipping. The Brooklyn Eagle is searchable online. You can go to the online and search through the Brooklyn Eagle and, from 1842 to something, 1901, something like that. Yeah. And you go to August 17th, 1870, and you can't find this. And I looked through all of 1870 and 18, the couple years before, the couple years after, and I don't see Fred Goldsmith mentioned in there anywhere. Now, John Thorne, who's one of the giants of baseball research, he went to libraries in Brooklyn and looked through microfilm of other newspapers. And other researchers have done this too, and I will tell you that if John Thorne can't find it, it's not there. I'm not embarrassing you, am I, John? Okay. But it isn't there. And no one has ever found where this piece of newsprint comes from. So Fred was showing this to people, and it's being reproduced. He was reproduced in the Sporting News in 1932. And people took it at face value. But now we, as researchers and all, now we have, you know, advanced research techniques, and no one can find this piece of paper. Also, Henry Chadwick was not writing for the Brooklyn Eagle in 1870. So that's kind of a problem there. This article appeared on page 5 of Sporting News in 1932. So Fred spent the rest of his life showing this piece of newsprint to anybody who would listen. In 1937, he was on the Ripley's Believe It or Not radio show talking about his invention of the curveball. And his last interview occurred in the Sporting News March 30, 1939. Fred was 82. He was coming to the end of his life, and he was interviewed, and he reproduced this text again for them and claimed that he had invented the curve. Well, about 5 weeks later, on May 2nd, 1939, a committee elected six men to the Hall of Fame. They elected Candy Cummings, and they did not elect Fred Goldsmith. They elected Candy Cummings as the purported inventor of the curveball. They also invented Cap Anson, and they also inducted Cap Anson and Al Spaulding, but not Fred Goldsmith. Well, Fred never read this final interview because 2 days before it hit the newsstands, he passed away. He died at the age of 82. He was buried at that Roseland Park Cemetery that I mentioned. And his grave is not marked, by the way. And, well, Cummings' election to the Hall of Fame was a bit controversial, and there was a controversy. Did Cummings or Goldsmith invent the curveball? On June 22nd, 1939, the Sporting News decided to split the middle. They decided to say that Cummings and Goldsmith should be considered as co-holders of the honor of inventing the curveball. And their matters stood. Their matters really have stood ever since. But once again, now that we know that Fred Goldsmith, we can't find that piece of print anywhere, it would be wonderful to know two things. First, where did it come from? And two, where is it today? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to have that piece of newsprint and see what font was being used or how it was laid out? Because that those would be clues of what newspaper it came from and when. Well, the controversy has really never gone away. In 2011, John Castle Jr., who is Fred Goldsmith's grandson, wrote a book called Goldie's Curveball, where he talks about his grandfather's career. Now, he was only 5 years old when Fred Goldsmith died, but he says he remembers his grandfather so well and all the stories he told and everything about the curveball and everything. So John, of course, wants to see Grandpa in the Hall of Fame. And so he wrote a book about his grandfather where he lays out his grandfather's case. And one of the last sentences is that Fred's absence from the Baseball Hall of Fame is, quote, an injustice that the Veterans Committee should consider and correct. So, and that's where it stands. So Candy Cummings was elected to the Hall of Fame as the purported inventor of the curveball. Now, I do have the answer to one question, though. What happened to that piece of newsprint? That piece of newsprint that was Fred's only piece of evidence, his what he claimed was his proof. I asked John Castle, what happened to that news? Can you send me a copy of that clipping? Well, he sent me that text. And I said, well, the clipping itself, what happened to the clipping itself that we could, you know, forensically almost, you know, decide where it finally came from and put this issue to rest? What happened to that clipping? John Castle told me that Fred was buried with it. Well, at least we now know where it is. So that's the story of Fred Goldsmith and the curveball. I'll take any questions if you'd like. Yes, sir. I'm not hearing too good. Okay.
Well, I looked into curveball recently and the history of it, and I thought there was doubt as to whether Candy Cummings was actually a person who threw the curveball. And for snapping the wrist, I got the impression that it wasn't on the course very well by the umpires.
Well, I think it's hard to say who really. I think the curveball was like many, many inventions. Several people probably came up with it pretty much simultaneously. If Candy Cummings had never been born, if Fred Goldsmith had never been born, somebody would have figured out how to throw it. Somebody would have done that.
So he asked great questions, so I'm going to sit down.
Okay. My takeaway is that Fred has a pretty weak case, but Candy Cummings' case isn't that much better. So, I did mention Yale University. You know, the president of Harvard didn't want his pitchers to throw curveballs because he thought it was cheating or thought it was deceptive and you should let the batter hit the ball and all that kind of thing. So he didn't want his Harvard pitchers throwing a curveball.
I believe he didn't approve of the plan in his game where he stole bases.
Stealing bases, he didn't like that idea either.
David, did anybody ever get a chance to ask Henry who taught him?
I think he. You know, I ran across that somewhere. I thought Avery, didn't Avery say that Cummings caught him the curve? I don't have the answer for that. But I always think it's kind of sad that somebody who was a prominent in any field or a Major League Baseball player has an unmarked grave. So, maybe a Sabre committee could rectify that.
Well, such a committee is underway. But who is it that you're saying has the unmarked grave? Avery or Goldsmith?
Goldsmith does. Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, the experiment that's referred to in the clipping, throwing the ball around one post and then coming back the other, you know, around the other.
Yeah.
This was precisely the experiment that it was held at the Capitol. I think it was in 1874, and a young Tommy Bond was the pitcher who demonstrated that curve.
Yes.
So I wonder whether there wasn't some chicanery here whereby the real clip from the Eagle describing the Tommy Bond experiment became the subject of Goldsmith's creation.
And that's what Goldsmith was showing the people. Do you think he altered a clipping or something?
I think he must have, because there's no Brooklyn paper that carries any notice of this.
No.
As you said.
And also, like I said, Goldsmith was born in 1856 and not 52. He would have had to be 14 years old in 1870 when he made the demonstration.
He would have been referred to as the infantile phenomenon.
Yes. Yes, sir.
How official is the death age at 82? And is it possible just to work backwards to find a birth date?
Well, this book Goldie's Curveball does have is a copy of a, not the birth certificate, but the birth as it was registered in the courthouse in Connecticut in 1856. And you can look through the you can look through census records, 1860, 1870. 1860, he's 4 years old, 1870, he's 14. So yeah, it's recorded in the New Haven, Connecticut courthouse that he was born in 1856.
And that works out to 82 when he did that?
I believe, yeah, from 1939, yes.
Yeah. Hi, thank you for this presentation. My great-grandfather was Larry Corcoran, and so I have looked a lot at Fred Goldsmith and read the comparisons. Two things. One, Larry died at 32, yes, not at 82. And secondly, he was also buried in an unmarked grave, which the Essex County, New Jersey firefighters took up collection in the late 2000s and got him a stone.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, he was the first man to throw three no-hitters?
Oh, I do know that.
You know that.
The 60s, it's Tim Kilpatrick's record.
Yes.
Yeah.
Larry Corcoran was the first man to throw three no-hitters.
He was.
Mm-hmm. It's really not all that remarkable. He did it in 14. Jim Britton was the whole season. In 1872, he was 14.
Yes.
On that National Association. So that probably struggled. This company was very effective. And did anybody check the scoring? Did that community ever find out who the actual individual was supporting him who took this as a penny, printed it, and where he got it, how?
I believe Fred wrote that article, and he gave them that text. That text was part of the article that he wrote for them. So it was a lot of pay to give them room for. I guess not. They were looking for a story. They're not researchers like we all are.
Yeah.
So baseball research is a lot more detailed.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job.
Okay, anyone else? If not, then thank you and I'll